back. Yeshiva, such al chesed, Yishlayim. Great zuchut, be learning, masechet. Sanhedrin, Kaf Dalad Amud Aleph 24a. We started yesterday the new Mishnah. Trying to refresh ourselves about what the Mishnah said. Mishnah taught us two laws. Two new laws about the way the court system works. Law number one, we see a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Law number two, the same, another dispute. Just like the previous Mishnah, Chachamim and Rabbi Meir discussed whether or not you're allowed to retract an agreement. What's the agreement? The agreement is the agreement on how I constitute the court. There is a halachic way of constituting the court, and there's a court by agreement. I can choose who I want to be my judge. Question is, if I choose someone who's not valid, can I later retract? So that's our dispute. Rabbi Meir says yes, and Chachamim say no. So we have, that's the Mishnah in general. We have to see the Gemara then is going to tell us exactly what we're talking about. But the Mishnah, generally speaking, says, first, if you had to describe in your own words the two rules of the Mishnah, without looking at the page, you might say that the first rule of the Mishnah is, the first rule of the Mishnah is, in general words, if a person chooses judges who are not proper judges,
they're really the puzzle.
Whoever they are, they're cattle herders, they're whatever, they're children, they're idiots.
Or the High Court of Justice.
High Court, right? So the rule is, Rabbi Meir says you can change your mind. Nachamim say you can't. Basically, that's the basic rule. We're learning the Gemara exactly what refine it, but that's the rule of the Mishnah, just on the face value. Right? The second rule of the Mishnah is on that oath. There's also a standard halachic way of making an oath. And the litigant can also waive that. Say, you know what, we don't have to do the full oath with the Torah and the name of Hashem. If you just swear on your own life, you swear on whatever you want, swear on your hamster's life, it's good enough for me. Can he then change his mind? Rabbi Meir says, yes, you can go back. Chachamim and say, no, you can't. Okay, they're the two rules of the Mishnah. In simple terms. Now, Gemara is now going to define them in more detail to say exactly what's going on. What exactly is the argument here? Yofi. So let's go back to where we're in the Gemara. So the first part of the Gemara is Rav Dimi. He clarified to us, the Gemara is talking about where, in the first section of the Gemara, we said the example given by the Gemara was, your father is going to be a judge. I accept your father or my father as a judge. Rav Dimi clarified for us that the Mishnah is talking about one of the judges, not replacing all three judges, but only replacing one of the judges. There's another two valid judges. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. If he'd been talking about all three judges being replaced, then it might be a different story. Mishnah's only talking about one judge. According to Rashi, it comes to tell us one judge for the strength. Even though Rabbi Meir's position, even though there is two other valid judges, he can still retract. Tov. So let's start today back at Rabbi Yehuda.
But on that, what about the example of three cattle herders?
Yes. So go on, what's your question?
Three invalid judges, supposedly.
Yes. But at least there's three, the point being there, that there is three judges.
Right.
Even though they're all invalid, there's only one difference. You're right, there's three of them, times three. But there is three judges.
Exactly.
So in the same case, so he's, what he was saying, similarly in the first example that you gave of putting your father as a judge, it was also still three judges. That's what Rav Dibi is saying.
Right.
Don't think that when we said in the Mishnah, I accept your father as a judge, I meant that I was accepting him as the only judge. I meant that there was three judges, but one of them was your father. That's what Rav Dibi comes to tell us. Okay, so now, looking at Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, right? So about 10 lines up from the bottom, 24a4. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Machloket b'machul lacha. Our machloket is in the way of machul lacha. Aval b'eten lacha, but if it was an eten lacha, Divrei HaKol yachol lachzor bo. Everyone would say he's able to retract. So let's review what's the difference between machul lacha and eten lacha.
Is actually handing money over.
Right.
And the other one is simply a waiving of a debt.
Yeah, fair.
With no exchange of money.
Right. And so therefore, what's the consequence of that difference?
The waiving of the money, since there's no actual exchange of money.
Yeah.
It can be, retracted.
It can be... Let me think. Hold on, let me think. It could be correct.
Reverse.
If there's no money changing hands, then we're not so concerned about who the judges are. Right, there's no money changing hands. If you want to validly take money from one person to another, you can only do it two ways. You either have to have a kinyan, if you want a kinyan, or it has to be done by the court. The court, a valid beit din, can take money from someone and give it to someone else, and that's valid. But any other transfer of money is not valid without either the court ordering it, three valid judges, a court, a beit din, or an agreement, a kinyan, even a gift needs a kinyan. If I give you my watch, say, you know what, Yaakov, you've been trying really hard, this van, so far the last 2 days, you've really given everything, and I want to give you my watch as a gift, and I give it to you like that, until you pick it up and take it, which would be the kinyan, I can say, you know what, I've changed. I'll take it back. Right? The gift does not actually transfer the item until you make a kinyan on it. A kinyan is various things, lifting up, doing something that shows that you own it, like picking up, changing, I'm going to change the time now. Right? Doing something that on it, that's a kinyan. So until you make a kinyan, there's no valid transfer of any property. So over here, in our case of the money case, there's two ways of transferring money. Either by agreement, right? We sit and agree, you know what? We're going to have a court of three monkeys, and if the monkeys all stand up, then you get the money. So fine, that's good. It's a kinyan, it's an agreement. It's a binding contract. Or we need three valid judges I don't agree with you anything. You're not taking my money. I don't want you to take my money at all. There's no agreement between us. But three judges say, give him the money, so that's binding. So there are only two reasons. Now, in our case, if you've got the chance of forgiving a debt or actually transferring money across from A to B, so the second one, transferring money from A to B, needs either a valid kinyan or three valid judges. But waiving the debt
doesn't.
So nothing moved. Nothing took place. I just forgave the debt. Right? So I don't need three valid judges for that. I don't need a kinyan. I don't need anything. If I say to Yaakov, you know that 50 shekel you owe me? I'm waiving it. I don't want it back anymore. It's yours now. I've forgiven it. That's it. That's binding. I don't need a kinyan, right? So too over here, we're saying that could be. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. That could be the difference over here. That could be the argument in this case. Is in the case of the difference between Mechul Lecha and Eten Lecha. In the case of Mechul Lecha, that's where Rabbi Meir says you can retract.
And this is when you change your mind, you tell Yaakov you want your money back.
In which case? That he owes me or I gave it to him?
He
owes me, or, I don't know, which was it? What's the
thing?
He owed me, and I raised it.
And you raised.
Yes.
And then next day, you said, "Where's the money?"
Yeah.
And I could say, "You told me I don't have to give it back."
Right. So it's forgiven.
How do you face that argument? How do I judge just on your word?
So then it's any like any other case, in the case of evidence. But if he's got two valid witnesses who heard it, he was. I was there, and he said it. So that's good. It's just a case of evidence.
But all you really have to do is tell him,
You don't have to, but we're talking about evidence for anything. Any claim you want to make. He waived it, he agreed it, he gave me half, he changed the amount. So all of those factors, they're all binding. But to evidence it is something else. To have the evidence that's actually what happened. Halachically, it was waived. In Shemayim, that debt no longer exists. Proving it in court is a separate issue. Okay, so here we're saying, this is another clarification. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I'm going to explain to you the scenario that we're talking about. Just like Rabbi Dimi said, I'm going to explain to you the scenario we're talking about. We're talking about where he said the father, instead of one judge, instead of three. It's a clarification about what's going on, explaining the scenario that the Mishnah is talking about. So too here, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll explain to you the scenario that the Mishnah is talking about. We're talking about a case of Mechul Lecha, and we're not talking about a case of Eten Lecha. Why? How do I know that? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was Eten Lecha, there wouldn't be a Machloket. In the case of Eten Lecha, both Rabbi Meir and Hachamim would agree that you can't retract. Only in the case of Mechul Lecha is where we have a dispute. The Rabbi Meir says you can retract a Mechul Lecha case, not the Mechul itself, but the case of Mechul Lecha. Retract the choice of the judges in that type of case. Right, so that's why Rabbi Meir says you can retract them. No, that's, hold on, I'm going backwards. That's why in the case of I will give you, everyone agrees you can retract. Right, in the case of when the money is transferring from one to another, everyone agrees that you can retract because you can insist on having a valid court to transfer money. So that's why everyone, there wouldn't be an argument between Rabbi Meir, they would all say, you know what, you can retract. But in the case of Mechul Lecha,
which is right.
Which doesn't need a valid court. So
the Huluha
over there, Rabbi Meir says you can retract. And Hachamim say you can't retract because there's no reason for you to need a valid court in that situation. So they say there's no reason to retract. You haven't got valid grounds to retract an agreement, a kinyan, a contract. You can't break the contract. If you had a valid, justifiable halachic reason for breaking the contract, for example, I need three judges here. You're right, I made a mistake. So then the Hachamim would say, you know what, you can retract. You need three judges to transfer money. But here you don't need that. So we're not letting you break your contract. We're not letting you retract your agreement. Rabbi Meir is saying no. I'm allowing you to change your mind and ask for a full court. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So just clarification in terms. The Huluha is forgiving of debt.
Yes.
And the other one is?
I want my money back.
Is actually handing over the money.
Yeah. Okay, and Rabbi Yochanan, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ba'etein lacha is machloket. The machloket is not like Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda says, the machloket, put that up on the board. Rabbi Yehuda says the argument in the Mishnah is argue in the case of a full. Right, so that's the dispute now between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan. Which case is our Mishnah talking about? Our Mishnah talking about Machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Which case do they argue? Rabbi Yehuda says it's a case of Machulacha, right, like we just explained. Right, in the case of Machulacha, you don't need three valid judges, and that's why Rabbi Meir, Chachamim say you can retract. But in the case of Eten Lacha, according to this version, everybody would agree. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Eten Lacha is the case that they disagree on. Eten Lacha is the case where Rabbi Meir says, can be trapped. Achamim say, cannot be trapped. Right? And that's the argument in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says no, it's this one. So what Rabbi Yochanan is reasoning? Why did Rabbi Yochanan say in the case of Eten Lacha, case of handing the money over, right? The difference between the two is no transfer of money, yes, transfer of money. So we can see that, so in the case of the transfer of money, that's where they argue, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir allows you to retract and have a court of three. Chachamim say, no, you can't retract. You need to stick with your original agreement to go with your invalid court. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, Ibai Lahu, they asked him, Be'eten Lacha Machoket. In the case that Rabbi Yochanan said, of Eten Lacha, that's the Machoket. Aval, B'machul Lacha, Divrei HaKol, Ein Yechol Lachzor Bo. But regarding the first case of Machul Lacha, everybody agrees that you can retract. Sorry, everyone agrees that you can't retract in that case. If we're saying that the Machloket is in the case of Eten Lacha, then it means that we have got agreement in the case of Machul Lacha. Right? If they're arguing about the case of Eten Lacha, it must therefore mean that they agree on the case of Machul Lacha. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says the Machloket is only in case two, Eten Lacha. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is also saying, implicitly, that they're not arguing in the case of case one. Case one of Machul Lacha, there must be an agreement. So what's the agreement? Which side are they both going with in the case of Machul Lacha? In the case of being forgiven, no money transferring, it must be there's no money transferring, you don't need a valid court. It must be that both parties say that in that case you can't retract. No, according to this, I've got it wrong, I've got it backwards. You cannot retract.
What's footnote 37?
No, it's 39 really, I think.
39?
No, so we don't have the explanation for why it's aimed. 39 goes on the last bit, doesn't go on the first bit of that paragraph. What's the problem here? The problem here is like this. Let me explain the problem. We're now in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, right? We dealt with Rabbi Yehuda. We're now looking at Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, I've got a different shita. The Mishnah is not talking like you said, Rabbi Yehuda. Saying like I said. According to me, Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about the court is dealing with a case of a tenacha. Give me back my money. There's going to be a transfer of money if I will. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, that there is an argument between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. They dispute. In this case, Rabbi Meir says you can retract and attend the Hach case. You will retract the judge. You picked a faulty judge, you picked a bad judge, you can change your mind. Hachamim say no, you cannot change your mind. That's what they dispute. Okay, that's fair enough. However, the question now the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me, Rabbi Yochanan, that in the case of a Eten Lacha, you've got a dispute. What about the other case? It must be, this is the question of the Gemara, what I'm assuming the Gemara says, it must be that in the case of Machul Lacha, they would agree. If you're telling me the dispute is in the case of a Eten Lacha, it must be that the case of Machul Lacha is not in dispute. Therefore, actually, both sides agree in Machul Lacha. The dispute is only in the case of Eten Lacha. But the question is, if both sides agree in the case of Machul Lacha, what are they agreeing? which side of the argument are both parties for are going with. The case, we're not told the case is on Chulakha, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan only discusses this case. And we're saying by implication, because he discusses this case, it must be that this one there's no argument. So we're trying to work out what Rabbi Yochanan think about this case. For sure they both agree, maybe, right? That they both agree there's no dispute. Well, what are they both agreed on? Are they both going with can retract, or are they both going with cannot retract in this case? But my opinion was different than Article. Was no different than the Gemara. The Gemara said that it was something unexpected. Right? The Gemara said they both agree in this case. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no dispute over here. Rabbi Yochanan says the dispute is here. Here there's no dispute. Here they both agree. What do Rabbi Meir and Chachamim agree over here? They both agree that you cannot retract. That's what the Gemara says. I'm thinking, wait a minute. No, they should both agree over here that you can't retract. That surely is the agreement. The agreement's not on this side. The agreement's on the other side of the argument. Must be. Why? Because we said that the case of the Chulakha is no transfer of money. And in the case of no transfer of money, now Gemara is 100% yucky, we sold it. The Gemara is 100% right. In the case of no transfer of money, you don't need a valid court. So when you pick a faulty court, you can't retract it. Yucky, the Gemara is right, obviously. I now realize why I'm wrong. Right?
Because all you have is opinion.
Because you don't need a kinyan. When we say in the case of Machulacha, you don't need a kinyan, you don't need three valid judges. You can waive it without three.
Because you're not
judges.
Exchanging money.
You're not exchanging money. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, in this case, everyone agrees that you can that you can't retract the original agreement.
So if you don't have
there's no machloka over here.
If you don't have a valid kinyan and you don't have a valid court,
yeah,
and you're not exchanging money,
you're not exchanging. That's fine.
Then why are you even in court?
Because you agreed it. He agreed to waive the money if these three donkey drivers think that you don't owe me. He picked an invalid court. They were sitting in the pub discussing whether or not you actually owe me the money. And he said, you know what, let's get these three guys sitting over here to rule on it. And if they say it's good, I waive the debt. So he starts telling these three drunkards the story, and they're out of it. They have no clue what they're talking about. And he now says, wait, I'm not getting these three guys. I changed my mind. I don't want these three idiots discussing my case, because I can see that they really have no clue what they're talking about. If you want to forgive the debt, I don't mind, but we're going to go to the Beit Din. So at this point, we say, no, you can't retract now. In the case of a forgiveness of debt, where there's no transfer of money, if you chose the court, you agreed to it, you can't retract it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's the case where no one said you're allowed to retract that. In the case of a Chulakha, there's no dispute. Only in the case of a ten lacha, where you are transferring money, there's an argument whether or not you can change your mind and retract the court. Yeah, in the world of Rabbi Yochanan. Good. In the world of Rabbi Yochanan, this is the argument. There, everybody agrees. In the case of a chulacha, you picked it, you chose it, you're done. No one's going to allow you to back out.
So if you're dealing with an invalid court, such as high court...
Right, so it has to be a case of a telecha. In the case of a telecha, even the High Court of Injustice, nobody would allow you to retract it.
Right, so it actually has to be exchange of goods.
Of goods, in order to get into a machloket about it. In the exchange of money, exchange of property, now we've got a machloket whether or not you can retract. One side says, you made a kinyan, you made an agreement, you can't go back out on the agreement, you can't back out on the agreement. And the other one says you can back out on the agreement because we're talking about transfer of money, it needs to be valid.
So it's like writing off a debt
yeah.
in accounting and then backing it up.
Could be. I don't know.
Because that's what I had to do with it when I was bookkeeper. I asked the Rav, you know, do I write off these debts that the parents didn't pay? He said yes. And then next year the parents came in, and so we had to back it off.
That's quite
I think. Namely, reverse the order, reverse entry.
Because when you waived that debt, it was waived, so when the parents came in to pay it.
No, the parents were gone.
Oh, okay, they won't come back.
The question is,
if you went to the Rav and said, can I waive these debts? And the Rav says yes.
Because
and then the parent,
seen Heino
and then
here, the parents.
Not fine. And then the parent comes in 3 weeks later and says, you know what, I've just done teshuva. I want to pay last year's school fees.
Right, then what I would do is just reverse the entry.
No, so according to this, you can't do that.
Once you said
lachul, I waived it.
No, but I didn't tell the parents.
It doesn't matter. So that's the question. Halakhically, what we're talking about now, right now, this is the point. If you waived it, it's binding without any kinyan.
But the question is doing an accounting entry, is that a kinyan or not? Because I haven't told anyone.
Can you forgive someone without telling them? So for sure you can forgive someone without telling them. You can forgive in your heart someone who's hurt you, for example, without telling them. You don't say, by the way, I forgive you. Yeah, on a spiritual, on a different level. Just on a different level of forgiveness. My forgiveness doesn't require informing the other party.
Because what I had to do, especially in accounting, is backtrack entries.
Top. Wolven, Shalom. How are you? Very good.
I give you some packages.
Oh, yeah?
It was the same area, now the yeshiva started.
Oh, and the yeshiva, yeah. Oi. Have to get here early. Shem wants you to come earlier. I don't know.
Oh. All the time change. Let's get the bonus.
Can I just get later? Yeah. Tov. Slichot. Did you sleep hot this morning? Wait. Kol hakavod. We have our official slichot major of the class. You are a strong one on people. Yeah. They will sing it, or it's like nice. Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nice. Top. Okay. So back to our Gemara. What did the Gemara ask? The Gemara asked Ibai Lepu. They asked him. What's the question they're asking over here? So the question is like, let's read the words. Ve'eten lacha machloket. In the case of Eten Lacha, you said that was the machloket. Aval, therefore, or but, machul lacha divrei akol, ein yachol lachzobo. And therefore, in the case of machul lacha, everybody agrees that you can't retract. But you only told us the first half. You told us Rabbi Yochanan holds the machloket is in Eten Lacha. Therefore, I'm going to work out by implication that in the case of machul lacha, everybody agrees. But you can't retract. Or Dilma, or maybe that's not true. Right? Because we don't know. We're trying to work out by implication. So, but what's the alternative? Or perhaps, or Dilma, Bein Bazu, or Bein Bazu Machoket. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is really saying that there's a Machoket in both cases. When Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, this is what the Gemara wants to know. When Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, what is he arguing on? We heard in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, they argue in the case of Machul Lacha. The Gemara then comes along and says, Rabbi Yochanan said, they argue in the case of Eten Lacha. When Rabbi Yochanan made that statement, did he mean also, or he meant instead of? Did he mean they also argue? You're right, I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, they are arguing in the case of Machul Lacha. And I'm coming to tell you, they're also arguing, in my opinion, they're also arguing in the case of Eten Lacha. Or would you say, no, that one everybody agrees. I'm disagreeing, I'm arguing with you, and I'm saying, no, you're wrong, and this is the case. Which one is it? Could be either, the Gemara says. Let's try and figure out which one Rabbi Yochanan is actually saying. Is he saying additionally or instead of? Yeah, is the question clear, Rabbi Yaakov?
Yes.
Go.
Oh, you want to have a Rashi or a wait?
Wait. So, Tom, let's watch this. Let's see. Yoshi. Tashma. Tashma means come and listen. Come and listen to the answer. I'm going to tell you the answer now. Dama Rava. We're going to learn the answer from Rava. Yeah? You with it? No, you lost it? Yeah? Okay. Tashma, come listen to the answer. Dama Rava. Rava said the answer. Machlochit ba'eten lacha. Rava says, it's like our first assumption. Rabbi Yochanan is saying the machloket is only in the case of eten lacha, but in the case of machul lacha, everybody agrees. Why? Why does he say that? It's very nice. That's your opinion. But how do you know? So he says, like, this is why I know. I amarta bishloma ba'eten lacha machloket. If you want to say, Bishloma Beten Lacha Machloket, if you want to say it's correct that he means, Rabbi Yochanan means that there is a machloket, that there is a machloket in the case of Beten Lacha. Abba Machul Lacha Divrei Akol Ein Yechol Lachzobo. But if you want to say, like Rabbi just said, that Rabbi Yochanan is stating that there is only a machloket in the case of eten lacha, but in the case of machul lacha, they all agree. That's a problem. Rava da'amar k'Rabbi Yochanan. Rava is then saying like Rabbi Yochanan. Yofi, what's he saying like this? Let's reverse. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement. This statement. The argument is in the case of eten lacha. We said, wait a minute. What about machul lacha? Machul lacha is saying they're not arguing, and this is the only argument. Or is Rabbi Yochanan saying no? Also here, they also argue there. I agree with you, Rabbi Huda, and they also argue here. Both cases. Which one is Rabbi Yochanan saying? We don't know. So first of all, I wanted to say I can learn from Rava. Rava is another Amora, same Rabbi Yochanan. Rava says they're arguing in the case of Etein Lacha, but they're not arguing in the case of Machul Lacha. Therefore, I'm going to learn out. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was talking to. Sounds like a good proof. Saying the same thing, he's agreeing with him. But Gemara looks at it the other way, says, no! How can it be that we've got a statement from Rava saying exactly the same as Rabbi Yochanan? That doesn't make sense. We're not going to have two statements saying the same thing. That actually comes to contradict. Doesn't come as a support to evidence of fact that that's what Rabbi Yochanan must be saying. It's the opposite. It must be that's not what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. If Rabbi is coming along and saying it, it must be that Rabbi is different. Otherwise, Rabbi is the same as Rabbi Yochanan. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan is not saying that. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan is saying both. Saying they argue it in the case of Eten Lacha, and I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that they argue it also in the case of Machul Lacha, and then you would have three different opinions. Opinion number one, Rabbi Yehuda, it's a case of Machul Lacha. Opinion number two, Rabba, it's the case of Eten Lacha. And opinion number three, Rabbi Yochanan, it's a case of both Eten Lacha and Machul Lacha. What's the case about Mishnah? All of our own. He's saying both. Rather, we've got a clear statement from Rabba. We have a statement from Rabba. Rabba says in his statement, this Mishnah is talking about a case of Etein Lacha. Because in a case of Mahol Lacha, everyone agrees that there's no dispute. Right, so Rabba is very clear. It's only in the case of Etein Lacha. Rabbi Yehuda was also very clear. He said it's only in the case of Mahol Lacha. But Rabbi Yochanan's statement was ambiguous. He said they argued the case of Etein Lacha. A full stop. And he didn't say anything else. And we didn't know what is he holding the whole other side. He didn't finish the other half. So we didn't know what he has in the other side. So does he agree with this? He adds on a second mafloket, also in the case of a ten lacha. Or is he saying, no, it's only a ten lacha, it's not mafloket. But now we're saying, Rava is the one who says, it's only a ten lacha, and therefore there's no room for Rabbi Yochanan to also be holding that position. So you might try to say that now as a supporting evidence. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabba, because he's got the same opinion. But here the Gemara is saying no. It's not a question of saying he's got the same opinion. Dafke, he hasn't got the same opinion. He's bringing a different opinion, otherwise he wouldn't have brought his opinion in the Gemara. If he was saying the same as Rabba, he would just say, well, it's like Rabba. No point me telling you my opinion when Rabbi's already said it. So then we have three different opinions. Right? Rabbi Damar of Rabbi Yochanan. It can't be that he's supporting him, because then he would be the same as Rabbi Yochanan. Ella, Yamata ben Bazu u ben Bazu machoket. But if you say, instead, so now we say that Rabbi Yochanan has a third opinion, right? Rabbi Yochanan, we're now saying, has a third opinion, which is in both cases, both the case of Mahol Lacha, Ben Zu Lezu, Machoket. Whether it's a case of Mahol Lacha or whether it's a case of Etein Lacha, is a Machoket. Ben Zu Lezu, Machoket. In the first case or the second case, that's what Ben Zu Lezu means, right?
They asked him.
So full stop. So when he says Etein Lacha Machloket, that's all he said. He said Etein Lacha Machloket. He didn't say anything else. Rabbi Yochanan said three words. Etein Lacha Machloket. And that's why I'm asking, because I don't know what you hold in the other case. Because his statement didn't touch on the other case. So now we're saying Rabbi Yochanan, we're assuming this point of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan holds both Ben Zu the Zu. In both cases, Rabbi Yochanan came to tell us also in the case of Etein Lacha. Additionally, you're right. In the first case of Mahol Lacha and Machloket, I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm saying they also argue in the second case too, Etein Lacha. So I've now got a third opinion. But the Gemara is not comfortable. Because the Gemara says, Ella, so now, if Iyamata Ben Zu Lahu, Ben Zu U Ben Zu Machloket, if you want to say that Rabbi Yochanan is holding Ben Zu U Ben Zu Machloket, both in the first case and in the second case as Machloket, right, that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that he is holding as a Machloket in Etein Lacha, and he is holding as a Machloket in Mahol Lacha. The Gemara says, Rava Da'amar Kaman. Who is Rava holding like? Who is Rava holding like? Rava, who says it's only in the case of Etein Lacha. Who is he holding like? He's not holding like Rav Yehuda, and he's not holding like Rabbi Yochanan. I think let's move these up to Rabbi Yochanan. He's holding at the level of the Tanna here, I guess. must be the Rabbi Yehuda's holding it. Rabbi Yochanan, we sometimes hold him at the level of a Tana. So Rabbi Yehuda, guessing is a Tana. Rava has to follow one of those opinions. Rava has to follow either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yehuda. He can't have his own opinion that has no basis. So they all, oh, we're going to see that all three I'm all right. But why is he hold? It's not clear to me why we're questioning. You'll see in a second. Let's just finish it in now. You'll see why it's puzzling. Because the Gemara answers now. How? So the question, just before we get to this answer, the question was, how can Rava say what he said? Because he's just not holding like either of them. But then the Gemara answers now. Rava tama danafshe kama. Rava was giving an opinion according to his own self. He was giving his own opinion. So we see that actually Rava is allowed to have his own opinion. Rava can contrast with Rabbi Yehuda and with Rabbi Yochanan. And they can have the ability for Rava to have a third opinion. Rava tama danafshe kama. He's saying according to his own opinion. He doesn't have to agree with Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda and then Shmuel. He doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Yochanan. He's giving a third opinion. So that concludes that piece of Gemara. What does it mean? Where does it leave us? It left us without a resolution. It left us with a possibility. We asked over here, the question, the original question, who's Rabbi Yochanan holding by? When Rabbi Yochanan says, Eten Lacha, what does he mean? Does he mean Eten Lacha by itself? Or he means Eten Lacha and Machul Lacha? Are we trying to show a proof from Rava? The ultimate answer was, we don't know from Rava. Rava could be holding his own opinion, but maybe not.
And Rava's opinion is?
Separate, third opinion.
Right. But what does he hold?
Rava's opinion is that it's only in the case of Eten Lacha, and not in the case of Machul Lacha, which gives room for Rabbi Yochanan to have a third opinion. But it could also mean that Rabbi Yochanan and Rava are the Gemara didn't like that. We said that maybe Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are the same. That Rava is holding the same Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara rejected that, certainly in the Sugya, and said, well, it can't be, because then it's the same with Rabbi Yochanan. But it was not clear to me on a Gemara interpretation level why Rava can't be holding the same Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe you want to say that he would have to have a different opinion. If he's quoted with a new opinion, it has to be different.
Then we should go back. We should go to the Rashi and find out what he says.
Okay. Let's have a look. Okay, so Rashi doesn't talk about this. Rashi only talks about he explains the initial cases of Machul Lacha and Eten Lacha. Itabar amar netzba ne'eman alai abba o abicha im yiskocha yehei Machul Lacha hatan kamay rabanan eino yachol atobo lacha zacha ze b'ma shebiado mekeivan shiyatsa tzakah. Right, so the Rashi just says, Rashi explains the case. What we're talking about is just like we explained. That the Mishnah is talking about a case of where he chose a bad judge, like a father, and he wants to retract. If it's a case of Machul Lacha, he can't retract because there is no need for a kinyan. About Be'eten Lacha, in the case of Be'eten Lacha, the Nimi Rama, the Tovei Im, in the case where he says, if they find me liable, I will give you the money. Well, talk, that was a little bit tough, but you did very well.